Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
podcasts on this Chinese fundraising dinner I went to. So, this is the 50 minute...
In 600 metres, turn right onto Victoria Road A40.
So, this is my 50 minute ride home, and you can see what I'm doing. I may be quiet as I actually try and attempt right-hand turns. It's late at night, it's 10:30 at night, or 10:23 at night, so I've just got to wait a little while I get the bits and pieces going, and I'll be a bit quiet as I do right-hand turns onto busy Shaftesbury roads, and I can sort of really wish I washed my windscreen, because it's the oncoming lights really show up the dirt and the dark. But indeed, I've been out with my cousin Andrew to a sort of a Chinese dinner at the 8 restaurant.
Turn right onto Victoria Road A40.
I think this is going to be a nice, easy thing to do. What's this Chinese charity fundraising thing where they raise billions of dollars worldwide? Yeah, there you go. Isn't that great? So you can hear me going home. This group, and I've got to remember, I've got their cards, are an influential Chinese group, and they raise a lot of money for children, education of Chinese children, international children, and they're a charitable funding organization which different organizations can apply to for charitable money. And I don't know where all the money comes from, quite frankly. And I met them and got the various cards, and I don't know quite how it seems, how can you fault fundraising to save and educate children? It seems a very obvious thing to do, and they target areas left out by Australian philanthropy. So Australian in general is doing very tough with a countrywide multi-year drought. So in the 1890s we had an absolutely devastating drought. So a drought, which actually leaves today's droughts behind. But we're approaching that, and the way that drought relief is calculated is it's by your net worth. So if you live near a city, the land that you go on is still equally unviable, but it's still in drought, except your land value is much higher, and so there's these areas of strong drought effect, but they don't get drought funding. Now, in a funny sort of way, this Chinese funding is raised, and so I just can't quite work out exactly how this all goes. It was very interesting that these trade delegations came across, and one of the things that they said, or the Australians said, that one of the things that you're planning to go to China is to have no plan for success whatsoever. So this is I listened up to that, because it's so complicated getting trade done in China for a small Australian company that you just don't plan to actually produce to produce anything. Now I'm just looking up here. Are you going to tell me what to do? This looks as though I've got to turn off here. What does it say? To Silverwater Road. I want to go on Silverwater Road. What are you doing? Are you going to tell me? I'm sure I've got to go in the A6. Oh well. It may be having a different way home for me. Because, oh no, this must be Spurway. It's coming up, so I'll look at that. Sorry for doing that. So there's this fundraising. So this Chinese banquet, and now they had a sort of a bean, black bean soup at the end of it. So that was a bit much of all there, but sort of some nice grilled mushrooms and sort of very nice Chinese food. Not a lot of it there, not a huge stuff your face banquet. Now, what are you going to tell me? Come on. I'm sure. So I'm just really focusing across here. So I was with my cousin and had some interesting conversations, I suppose, about philanthropy and Chinese influence, and people were very much I'm just going to go down here in Silverwater Road. I assume this is what you're supposed to do. It will object if I'm going the wrong way. Come on. How can you not tell me to do this? This is surely the way to go. Come on, mate.
In 300 metres, merge onto Silverwater Road A6.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, this is sort of... So that's me merging in. And I just have to check.
Continue on A6 for 3 kilometres.
So, again, networking with my cousin, got some general ideas on how to construct web pages, and what was interesting for him, or just trying to actually, so that's the Chinese banquet stuff, and so there's a limited amount of time. I will dutifully follow up the people I meet, sending a quick email to them, an email contact to say hello. And, you know, you're in my Teledex, I may contact you later on, especially if I need Chinese money. I have used occasionally just bizarre amount of quantity of money sloshing about at various times. So I'll keep them in mind for that. Getting back to it, we looked at general marketing and getting ideas out. And he has his web pages. I'm looking at the structure of web pages. So this is a totally separate issue and a topic. And one of the things that I have learnt is that you now have to have the concept of a mobile-friendly web page. So the fundamental aspect of a mobile-friendly web page is that it goes from a multi-column format on a screen to single column for a mobile phone. And so essentially trying to actually organize that, and the idea of scroll down and people able to take information in, really they need one or two samplers and want to go across. So there is a logic to it, which I don't necessarily... With all of this, you have to be really constrained by the convention.
In 400 metres, turn right onto the ramp to M4.
Turn right onto the ramp to the M4. Okay. Okay, Penrith, beautiful. Thanks a lot for that. Isn't that beautiful? So much easier with the Google telling you what to do. And I've just got to make sure it's not picking up too much... using up too much data as we're doing that. The general idea is that you scroll down. Now, So you can basically scroll down through topics, and then the idea is that when you scroll down, you want to be able to swipe, I suppose, go off to more information off to the right-hand side. Now, that's this innovation. The problem is whether...
Turn right onto the ramp to M4.
Okay, not quite. A bit of a wait to the lights, Mrs. Google Lady. yeah, so you scroll down, and there is this temptation to have more and more information there, which is sort of a bad idea. So it's essentially, you can make a website mobile friendly. So the essential of a website is it's basically a brochure book page. So you go to different pages on it, but mobile phone site is a scrolled version. So there's a certain amount of crossover from what you what you do, but I can't quite see the actual two things going over. So I'm just getting onto the M4 here, and we'll be home.
In 400 metres, merge onto M4.
Okay, I've got this car coming up. I hear the beep as I get the... quite ambitious.
Continue on M4 for 1.5 kilometres.
Okay, I just have to focus here to make sure that I understand what's going on. I should be able to just keep it in this lane in quite a relaxed manner. So Australia's poured heaps and heaps of money into this road, and it's quite a pleasant road to go back, and that was a
600 metres, use the right two lanes to keep right at the fork and stay on M4.
Definitely, I'm going to do that one. The traditional website is a book, is the concept of a book, and
use the right two lanes to keep right
with chapters, and then an infinite quantity that you can go down, and there is a difference between a website and a knowledge repository. So essentially, when I'm sort of looking at the Glenbrook Historical Society, they've got all their information, and you want it automatically available to the web through reference to these sites. Now, the... So you've got this huge file of complex stuff, one aspect. Then you've got repositories within that area. So then you've got podcasts and videos and stuff like that. And you don't want your website to point to all of that. You want your website to go to highlights of it and perhaps search through it. Then you've got your traditional website, which is a page-based thing. So you've got a certain page, and you don't necessarily scroll down the page. Although the idea is that you read a page and you identify a point on the page and click. So you click through, and so you have this infinite clicking thing. Now, the mobile phone stuff, the natural thing is to scroll. And essentially... you want to have your information such that when you read onto it, you see the next topic is written. And, you know, so what I sort of almost think, you know, so what I really would like to do is have the... Oh, I'll keep that going here. Have the actual topic of the site written on the side, so you've got a limited amount of space to read, and you really have to have the full text width of your mobile phone. People, the way people have their mobile phone, you need the text width, and you need to just scroll across it. So in your overall web page, you have basically column 1 and 2 are the headings. I'm just really trying to work this out. Column 1 and 2 are the headings, and then so you've got 12 columns that you can go. And essentially what happens is that your 12 columns collapse down to one column. And so in your page, you can, so to actually get some sort of structure to it. So essentially you have your headings and trying to actually place it. I'm just trying to work out how you actually place it. I've got to remember exactly how you place it there. Okay. Yeah. So you've got these 12 columns, and what happens is as you reduce the screen size, it goes from 12 columns to 6 columns to 3 and then to 1. I think that's the overall structure as you go across it. And so you have to arrange your information such that it can go between these ways. And then the genius of this chap is that your one column, that when you get to some information that's got a detail, you can then swipe right on it. So he has this thing of Google Slides, so that as you move across, you move the slide across, and you can keep on turning it. I just wish you could work out exactly how that happens. So one of the things which was bitterly disappointing was the 3D effect on phones. When I did this 3D effect, and the issue is that this 3D effect on phones is so OpenGL, graphics language intensive, it doesn't scroll. So you can well imagine that type of stuff, that if you want an overall screen to scroll in a particular way, you could only have a fixed screen. So there's this, you know, real, I suppose, issue onto how this all operates. So it's just, and then there's the other thing of maintenance of this and the updating of it. And of course, the total update of a screen is of being able to do a screen. It's really, if you want something which is easy to update and taking, it's probably a link to social media. And I suppose, aggressive use of hashtags. That is, we had a great time at Sydney Olympic Park, Sydney Olympic Park. So the actual, the hashtag of, if you search up Sydney Olympic Park, that idea comes across. So there's that aspect of the structure of the page, and then there's the commercial aspect of the page, and that is taking online bookings. So there's certain commercial activities which need to be advertised, structured, put through for different, basically different markets. There's got to be a Chinese version of it, as far as I can see, for Chinese tours. And then there's got to be sort of a site for people who want to do independent tours, geocaches, and having a tour on top of it. There's virtual reality aspects to it all. So I just keep on doing it. So There's all these commercial things to do. It's actually quite. And there's the sort of expectations. So there's the current way that it's done at the moment is that there's a few cardboard boxes and there's a few publications, and the publication. So it's very much that you physically have to walk into the place and order the publication. Now, what this is from the Glenbrook Historical Society. What we really need to do is subcontract that out to Dimmicks or some book repository, such that it looks so it's our site, but the entire shipment process, international shipment process. So, say if we get an order for a book, we don't want to actually find out and ship that out. The cost, you know, the benefit of doing that, the actual checking, double checking, the business system to do that is actually, although it's feasible to do, to train someone up to do it. And the sort of expectation that it gets done in real time. So if I order something at midday in London, it's sort of, what is it? It's 10 o'clock at night here. It's 10 hours or whatever it is. Yeah. Well, it's at, no, 10 o'clock in the morning here. The actual time, if you do that and it's on a public holiday and the person's sick and they don't look at it, it's just not feasible to run an e-shop via the website yet. This is something that really should be done. And they're sort of carrying the stock of books and stuff like that. So what happens is that a lot of people self-publish. Yeah, and the entire idea is that besides taking what is it? Besides actually selling books, we also actually want our people in the Blue Mountains to publish books and to be encouraged in the publication process. So I suppose the Glenbrook Historical Society really needs an electronic version of storing the books, publishing the books, and selling the books. So there's a sequence there, and it to be linked in with the actual history. So if you read a history point and you want to hear the podcast on it, or you want to hear the video virtual walking tour, or you actually want to go on the tour itself up in the Blue Mountains, it's be worth going on it. So it's a critical thing to do. There's so much to do, and so much to think of the actual infrastructure and how to actually take the very, very first steps. And my issue is that the entire storing things on Google Sites seems relatively quick because they will store the Google stuff and essentially measure the size of your phone and moderate the size of your file to go down onto it. Which is that you can actually store a fairly high-res image on your on the Google site, but it will upload a low-res image. I'll just 80. There you go. Oh okay, I'm 80 kilometres an hour. Okay, thanks for getting off my tail, mate. So there's a lot to be said for doing things with Google. It's just that a lot of Google sites can attract costs with it, and it's just a hard thing to see, and whether Google sites is mobile friendly. So my sort of gut feeling is to really have a sit down and design. And the problem is that a lot of people, no matter what you say, they just automatically agree with you. And trying to actually pick, use a certain amount of logic for making decisions. So it's only after a certain amount of times that I've made the correct decisions So initially, when I first made a website, I had everything animated and moving, and I still have a temptation for movement, but having this the most subtle of movement. So one of the things that really attract, these are personal preferences. For the Glenbrook Institute, I've got a set of glasses and the theme, the future is so bright you've got to wear shades. In Glenbrook, I've got this eye with the G in it. One of the things is it, if you have an eye symbol which is brown, it looks very rubbishy. So you need that classic blue eye. But the problem is that blue eye is very racist. Well, unfortunately it is. So there's a Norse thing. But the eye sort of has got this... the all-knowing eye, the eye of the Masons, the Masons, and that classic eye in the middle of the pyramid, and the beams coming out of the eye. So to make it look a little bit different from just a football, so the fundamental thing is that the symbol has to be one or two colours. It has to be red. It can't really be green or anything like that. And it's got to be a letter. It's got to be a single letter. It's got to be readable. Like Google or Windows or... or Apple or Linux or something like that. It's got to be a very small, simple symbol. So I've got the Glenbrook symbol there, the Glenbrook Historical Society symbol. And the general gist of it is that it's... easier to see. So we're just stepping back into it. I'm at this stage of having been to the Chinese. Let's recap. Having been to the Chinese dinner and surviving that, and making a few friends, and sort of looking at the selected follow-up. So I'm just really trying to think what I should do as a policy. Is I should really have a sort of a standardized letter put out to people saying, delighted to meet you there. I just want to make an to reach out and make a email contact with you. I sort of understand from this the background, very impressed. In future, there may be a need to have contacts, and I hope you understand this. So, we'd like. Delighted to hear back from you, but I'll keep you posted if there is sort of development, which I think I think what we'll say is that I've gotten a general impression of what we're doing. At the moment, there's a bit of a gap between what we're doing and when we're going to communicate with you. But at that time, when it's sufficiently resolved, I've done enough research, I will follow up with a thing. It may be 3 months, it may be 6 months' time before I get in contact with you. Just to leave it there, I was just really trying to think of it, because it's really interesting for me in that I just got to really calculate through what the... high yield, low yield communication system is, and what people's thinking is with it, and also to have material. So there was a Chinese delicate there, and I've written a lot of children's books, and she's got, well, I think, 2 young children. 1-year-old and 2-year-old left in China, and she's out here for two days and stuff like that. So the important thing is to have a battery of material there, sort of for any area, a strategy to go across. So I was just thinking right across to the Glenbrook Historical Society. We've got walks. What is the general strategy for this? You know, what, rather than we don't know, we're not doing anything, we've got a general strategy for it. So for walks, we have it there. We have for publication and work, we've got this. For any scenario, there is this, it's almost like a policy document to go forward to say, the general strategic plan going forward for it. And so in this case, you've got a meeting. I think you need basic materials, and this is like brochures and cards. And I think Andrew's, one of the people I was speaking to, has the actual social media strategy that and he's got it via Instagram, so Instagram feeds to Twitter. And so at the moment, my blog, my podcast links across to Twitter, but that's not fully formed. And the need for visuals on it, which is a very important aspect of it, which is something that I'm missing out on. But you know, if you are essentially boring, which I think I am, and you've essentially got a focus on rehabilitation, which is setting yourself up such that you can do a consistent amount of training or typing or circuitry or whatever it is that you can actually move forward, it's really good to move from that basis across into a basic strategy to move forward. So at the moment, my podcasts come out naturally, and they I've got the software to do that. Now I'll just stay in this lane for the moment. So my software to does this propagation of it, so that organizes it. So I've got some software roots. It's just to increase that software group. So I was just trying to think, trying to set up a proxy for my work, in that I think an Instagram of my podcast and life and stuff like that is not going to be as useful as having... Now, what I really think is having a Glenbrook Historical Society Instagram, so there's a group of people posting to the same Instagram account might do it. So an Instagram account which is actually owned by the group, so you've got the general people doing it, and he has this system that the Instagram posts to the to Facebook, and I don't quite understand his I think WordPress. So all these things cost money to actually produce, and your big question is who your readership is and your overall structure and the interface through it. So if you are producing you know, what is your job? Is your job to actually be part of the tourist infrastructure? Why are you doing it? To go across. So I'm starting to look at why there would be, say, in terms of priority going through, there's a good priority to increase the accessibility to young people, they're very young, and to blind people, disabled people, then perhaps to foreigners going through. And this would only be sort of make sense in terms of, I suppose for young and disabled people, there is this community spirit. It's just sort of why would, at what point does it cross over to this general service or the welcoming of foreign people as the expansion of things. So it's really to work out our policies and strategies to get through, and really we need the strategies first and the web page second. And so we need a strategy for managing printed materials, a strategy for production of short monographs, such that the short monographs on a topic get produced as a get further produced. So if I produce a monograph, that's got a limited limited value. And the other thing is that the monographs aren't there's certain adult content, sort of like various. We've had a serial killer up in a global serial killer in Glenbrook, and we've had murderers in Glenbrook, insurance fraud, sort of weird people going away. That's to a certain adult audience, but for the young people, we don't necessarily have children's stories or how that can go forward. So you really need publications for each, or a Glenbrook colouring in book, or a Glenbrook crossword book, or clues, or educational material. So now what we need to do is sponsor the production of all of this, actually sponsor it, that's produced, contained, published and put forward, such that we almost need a way to digitally print something on site, on demand, for when someone comes across. So there's all these these activities and a policy to go forward, the costing of it, to go through. So one of the things is that we have the monograph, and you want the production of a podcast from the monograph. So that is, you need the actual basic content of the monograph to go forward. But if the monograph, monograph needs, say, actors' voices to go from various things or sound effects. So we have, say, the Glenbrook Washaway. Obviously, you need the sound effects of torrential rain and a sound and, obviously a small inkling of sound effects, a bit of introduction music. It can actually produce it. Now, it's like the core material is the monograph, and you have different people producing it.
Keep right to continue on Great Western Highway A32.
Okay, so don't. I'm almost home here after that. 1.5 hours of going. So, just try and work. To try and work through it. So it's just this real issue.
Continue on A32 for 2 kilometres.
That's 2 kilometres to come home. Thank you. This will be a long night. And I don't know, it's really exhausting the days. And I'm supposed to be doing 2 hours gym a day. There's no way. Oh, look, I'll eventually do it. One of the interesting things about going to the Chinese fundraising, there was the Chinese he was doing 7 marathons in so many hundred days on 7 continents. So he did a marathon in Antarctica. So what the that's just unbelievable. Because this is just... The Antarctica is just not somewhere where you've got somewhere where you can run. So he's done it on all continents and is doing a marathon. It's a big Sydney marathon tomorrow. And that person's 62. And so that's just a real gauntlet to me to actually just really, really train and push myself and try and push up ahead. So that's general view. I've got in my head, I'm just trying to work out basically at what point do you do the web page, or what point do you do the strategy, at what point does the web page serve the purpose of a desktop page.
600 meters, turn left onto Ross Street.
And what sort of what does it do in terms of how does scrolling go across? And I suppose what's really interesting is the web pages are.
Turn left onto Ross Street, then turn right onto Wasco Street.
There is such an ignorance associated with it, in that people. Outsource their web design to someone else and produce something which is really can't
take
grow
right onto Wasco Street.
Can't go with the strategic development. So people sort of hold off
100 meters, turn left onto Peel Street.
Hold off until I get the money. The interesting thing is that the web page is actually a web page. It's different from the repository of all knowledge, which is to go there. One of the really interesting thing is that from the founder of YouTube is the idea is that every YouTube should be 30 seconds long with a follow-on screen such that you can have which is really the interesting super interesting aspect of it. So
take the next left onto Peel Street.
I think really to actually to actually break that up into small little units.
200 meters, your destination will be on the right.
Well, that's going to be the end of the story here. It's just the big strategy, short strategy, and it's like short-term strategy for production of quick production of YouTubes, of having a fast out production of it. That's the way to go. There, I'm home now, guys. So that's going to be the end of it. I'm sorry about this. This is a long and complicated podcast where I'm actually talking and thinking at the same time. So it must sound extremely confused, but unfortunately that's it. And that will be yet another podcast out there where I'm talking about things. Thanks a lot for listening.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.